Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you today. Let's all stand. The song is Blessed Be Your Name. Here we go.
Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for with love my heart. Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into the Lord's love. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have seen from my wandering.
Jesus came into my heart, and my sins, which are many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'll be so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I will sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
All right, glad to see you guys here this morning. I tell you, it's really turned out far better than I was thinking this morning as far as attendance. Obviously, there's a lot of people gone, but we have, I went over the list of people that I knew that was aware of that was sick during the Sunday school hour, and I'm not going to attempt to do that again. However, I just want you to know there are many of them, okay? Many of them had COVID, many of our families do, and then some just have whatever this other junk that's going around. So just keep our people prayed, lifted up in prayer, and you be faithful as you have been this morning. We'll work through this. Winter will be over soon, and maybe we'll get back to big crowds and good health, okay? And so anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. We do have visitors with us. It's a blessing. A handful of visitors with us this morning, and so we welcome you this morning and want you to feel at home with us here at Bible Baptist, and want you to feel loved, and certainly appreciate your time with us this morning, okay? And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to the good singing. Ray Griggs, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Amen. When I came 17 years ago, this is the very first song that I sing, and I sing it every year just to kind of as an anniversary, and so today is the day I'm singing it. Were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's trust Him no matter what comes our way. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man is spoken, says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. to hear our praise on our cheerful days. When the pleasant times outweighs the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing Him song, that is when our Father's heart is blessed. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man is spoken, as your circumstances as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you and despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man is spoken, since your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you today, and God, we're grateful for all your work, for all your grace, and for all of your mercy. God, no matter what's going on around us, we can still have joy, and we can still rejoice. As we talked about last Sunday night, one of the ways that we can experience heaven on earth is just have joy in our hearts. Apostle Paul told us, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. God, I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris as he comes and preaches for us in just a few moments. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today. God, I pray that our hearts would be drawn closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can stay seated this morning.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lay down your shame. lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's joy for the morning. Oh, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Above all powers, above all fears, above all nature, and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind the sword. You live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, lay behind the storm. You live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we're so grateful this morning to be able to call upon your name. We appreciate the faithfulness of your people, and we do recognize and understand so many people are away from church this morning as a result of being sick, whether it be COVID or some other virus or whatever's going around, Father. And we just pray that you'll bring good health to them, that you'll allow them to heal quickly. We are grateful, Lord, that this particular variant of the COVID is not as difficult to go through, not as harsh on people, and we praise you for that. We appreciate the ones that have already been well and recovered, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to navigate as a church through these waters and Seems like every few months or so we go through another deal of this, Lord. But all in all, you've blessed, and we thank you for it. We are grateful, God, for a strong church. And Father, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the diversity that you bring to our church, Lord. It's so encouraging to me, Lord, to look across the auditorium and see the many people from many walks of life, different skin colors, all ages. Father, we just thank you for that. We know, Lord God, that that's what heaven's going to be like. And Father, just help us to worship in a way that's pleasing to you this morning. Help us to learn from your word. And Father, help us to get a good perspective of who you are and what you want for us, and what can be accomplished in our lives, Lord, with your being able to reign and lord over us. So, Father, for the next few minutes, bless and speak to our hearts, and we'll give you praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, and all in all, really and truly, considering the circumstances, we do. We have a good group this morning. It's going to be like this periodically, for a while anyway, until this whole thing goes away. But we're glad you're here this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, if you're reading your Bibles through in a year, then, and you're using the same reading schedule that I am, then you read this particular passage on Thursday. And many of you are doing that. It's a very well-known text, and we'll get to it in just a few moments. But let me just ask you a question right now. What do you think of when you hear the word worship? Some people think of music because the song service has been in churches throughout the land, including many times at our church, has begun in recent times to be referred to as worship, okay, because we're singing songs. And maybe you think about church, period. Sunday morning church is worship, as opposed to, like, when we come into the auditorium, we call it the worship hour or the worship service, as opposed to the Sunday school hour or the evening service or something like that. And certainly I'm not trying to split hairs over all these definitions or the terminology, and I'm not finding fault in any way, form, or fashion if somebody uses the term worship in that way. But our understanding of worship is very important in our walk with the Lord. Worship should be at the core of our relationship with God. It's more than just an attendance of a service, and it's more than just standing and singing songs and perhaps even raising our hands, and those things are fine, but worship is more than that. It all boils down to honoring God. You can worship God in so many ways just by honoring Him. The New Testament has two different Greek words that it uses to describe worship. One of those words means to bow down. And when you find worship in the Old Testament times, you find time and time again where they literally, in bodily form, bowed before the Lord in worship. Okay, so that's part of it. The other word in the New Testament just simply means to honor or pay homage to, okay? But each of those words carries the idea of giving, okay? Giving homage to God, giving honor to God. And so in essence, worship, in a nutshell, is giving or honoring God by giving Him the things He deserves. And so you can praise God, and He deserves praise, and so that's worship. That's an act of worship. And when we sing songs, we're lifting our voice to God, and the Bible says it time and time again, and He deserves us doing that, and so that is an act of worship. When we come to church on Sunday morning to honor the Lord on the Lord's Day, maybe bring our families to honor the Lord, that's an act of worship, because certainly He deserves us being in the house of God and honoring Him, okay? When we give of our tithes and our offerings, it's something that God's Word teaches us to do, and He expects of His children, that's something He deserves. And so even giving is an act of worship. When you serve, teach a class, run a bus, minister to people outside the church, whatever it is you do in service to the Lord, that's something that God deserves, is for us to serve Him. And so that is an act of worship. So you get the idea that anything that we can do to honor God with something He deserves, that's an act of worship. It could be just the simple act of bowing yourself at this altar and praying to Him. He deserves that, okay? Or bowing yourself at the side of your bed, or even if you don't bow in bodily form, bowing your heart and mind in humble prayer to God. These are all acts of proper worship, okay? So something I want to share with you this morning is a key element of having proper worship or being in a position to offer proper worship. And it's something that needs to be right in our life if we're gonna be able to worship in the way that God expects us to or in the way He desires. And it's simply this. We must have a proper view of God. If we worship in a manner that we really don't have the proper view of God, we don't understand who He is, then it's ill-gotten, it's misguided, it's misplaced type worship, okay? But when, and I'm afraid this is missing, okay, in today's church, in modern Christianity, in the age we live in, and I'll get right straight to the point of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeing God and recognizing His holiness. Amen. You see, I think we understand God in so many ways. I'm certainly not finding fault with modern Christianity because I'm a modern Christian myself. But there's an element, I believe, that is missing in so many people's lives today. They see God in so many ways, but they don't see His holiness. And if you don't see God as holy, then you can't properly worship Him. God is seen in so many ways by so many people as a lucky charm. Just somebody that you grab hold of and seek when you need things to go well in your life. Or perhaps He's a genie in a bottle that's going to grant our wishes from time to time. Or in some people just simply see Him as a distant God that is somewhere out there and we won't deal with Him until we die and leave this world. That's not true. Some people just simply see Him as a God on paper. He's just printed on the pages of this book, and that's all there is to Him. And that's not it at all. The truth of the matter is, God is a powerful, living creator of heaven and earth and creator of you and I, and He wants to have a relationship with us. However, that brings up a very big problem that you and I have, and that's the fact that we're sinners. And so, us being sinners, this is where holiness comes into place. God is holy. We're sinners. He's holy, which means He's absolutely perfect. He's spotless. He's without sin. And with that being the case, you and I, being sinners, cannot be in His presence. In other words, you and I can't have anything to do with God unless our sins are removed. And of course we know that's what Jesus is about as the Son of God. That's where He comes into play. Through Him and His death upon the cross, God made it a way for every human soul to be forgiven of their sins and be in an eternal relationship with Him. But what has happened there is our sins, in a positional sense, have been removed. And so yes, we can be involved with a holy God. We can be a part of His life. I know the Lord this morning. Praise God. And I know my sins are forgiven. So I know I can be in the presence of God and I can commune with God. Most of you, hopefully all of you, know the Lord. Praise God this morning. That's the same thing for you. If there's somebody else here that doesn't, we want that to happen for you today because it's the most extraordinary thing that you can ever imagine to have a relationship with this holy, eternal God. Okay? But once that is done, once we're all saved, our recognition of or our appreciation for God's holiness shouldn't stop. We shouldn't just see Him as holy, so, hey, we need to be forgiven of our sins because God is holy and accept Jesus and then stop. In actuality, our appreciation for His holiness should grow as we walk with the Lord. And that's why or where I believe that we're falling woefully short in today's Christian world. Let's get right to our text and we'll move on with this. I want to tell you a little bit about the setting before we read it. In these first few verses of chapter 6, we're going to find the account of Isaiah and his experience in being confronted with the holiness of God. At the time this happens, Uzziah had been king for 52 years. From a political standpoint, he had been a good king. The nation was in pretty good shape. They were secure. The economy was strong. They had a sizable, well-equipped military, and everything was good in those areas, but that's where the good ended. From a spiritual standpoint, Israel was in bad shape, kind of like our nation. They were corrupt. They were immoral. They were ungodly. Now, they still, quote unquote, worship the living God, but it wasn't true worship, you see. It was much like we see today. It was very shallow worship. If you would have asked those people in that day of Uzziah, hey, do you believe in God? Do you belong to God? They would have all said yes. You ask around in the United States of America today, and most people will say yes. But it was a superficial attachment to God. It was shallow. There was no depth to it. There was no substance to it. And so the result of that is God was fed up with them. This shallow just saying, yeah, that they know me, but in no way, form, or fashion, recognizing God's holiness and who he was and just living any old way they wanted to live. God was fed up with that. So in chapter 5, he pronounced a whole series of curses upon those people, his people. And he struck Uzziah with leprosy. During all of this is where we come to chapter 6, and God records the encounter that the prophet Isaiah, which was the true man of God, that he had with God, okay? Now we'll see in the first verse that now Uzziah has died. It says, in the year that King, verse 1, Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, that's angels, folks. Each one had six wings. Two wings covered the face, and twain covered the feet, and twain did fly. So these angels are flying, and when they cried unto one another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, this is Isaiah, I said, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We're going to have a very hard time fully appreciating or imagining the glorious sight that Isaiah saw, because we're just getting it through words, okay? The place was filled with smoke. Angels were present in all their majesty and beauty. The angels cried out the words, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and so loudly that it shook the place. And God is sitting upon his throne in heaven, high and lifted up, the scripture says, which simply means that he's elevated and all of his glory was on display. And all the while, little old Isaiah, just a simple man, is being able to see all this. And I want you to, again, we'll read it again, look at his response to all that he saw and heard that day. Verse 5, he says this in the first part of the verse, woe is me, I'm undone. The word woe in the Old Testament means cursed, judged, or condemned. The word undone means destroyed. Why would Isaiah say that about himself? I'm cursed, I'm condemned, I'm going to be destroyed. Essentially what he's saying is I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. What would make him say that when he saw God in his holiness? The same thing that should make us fall upon our knees in humility. He saw God's holiness. He saw just how holy God really is, which reflected on him and saw just how sinful he was. You know what he's saying? After everything he witnessed there, he said, I deserve to be destroyed. I'm undone. Woe is me. I deserve to be condemned. The only thing he could conclude with that vision was this: I'm in trouble. Now, was the prophet Isaiah really in trouble? No, he wasn't. In the sense that he belonged to God, he was a child of God, and he was forgiven of his sins. And so, no, he wasn't in trouble. But from a healthy viewpoint of who God is and how unworthy mankind is, Isaiah just simply perceived himself to be a little speck of unholy dirt on the floor of a holy temple where God sat on his throne. I don't have any business being here, is the mindset. I'm not worthy to be here in this particular situation. Folks, none of us are worthy to be in the presence of God. Not a single one of us. But in spite of that, through Jesus, we're allowed to be. Because of the righteousness of Jesus that becomes ours the moment we accept Him, then we can be in a relationship. And so, well, yes, we can come to God in prayer and we can enter into His presence and bow before Him with worship, and He welcomes us because of what Jesus did. We can walk with Him daily. But does that change anything about what Isaiah saw that day? No. God is still just as holy today as he was the day that Isaiah saw him. And our sins, friends, however many they be, are still just as foul as they were in that day. Do our sins condemn us? No. Through Christ we're not. There is no condemnation, okay? They don't condemn us. They've been forgiven, and they won't send us to hell anymore because we're born again children of God. But they're no less offensive to God than they were before our salvation. You see, Isaiah had a very healthy viewpoint of who God was and who he was. He says, whoa, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know what? If Isaiah lived in this day and age, everybody would feel sorry for him. They'd say, poor Isaiah, he has such a bad self-image. Isaiah, you need to learn to be more positive. You need to surround yourself with people who's going to speak words of affirmation into your life. You need people to fill your love tank, Isaiah, so you don't have such an unhealthy perception of yourself. You see, that's the way Isaiah would be treated today. Isaiah, your think bone's faulty. You need somebody to give you a new mindset. You need somebody to tell you about all of your strengths. But folks, that's not it at all. Isaiah walked away from this situation stronger than he had ever been, because he had a better perspective about who God was and who he was than he'd ever had in his life. He, now that he's face to face with the holiness of God, it causes him to see the vileness of his sin, which is the healthiest place that he could possibly be. And it's the healthiest place that you and I can be. Because seeing God's holiness the way it really is causes us to want to clean ourselves up. Not for salvation. Again, the salvation comes through Jesus and faith in Him. Not clean ourselves up so we can go to heaven, but clean ourselves up so we can honor God and please Him. Notice what Isaiah calls our attention to in verse 5. He says, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, not only am I undone and a man of unclean lips, but I'm surrounded by a world of people that are unclean. And unfortunately, what comes with that is an anything goes mindset. You see, in this world we live in, it doesn't have to be that way for us, but if we follow the rest of the world, anything goes. What's right and what's wrong, it has no, according to God's word, has no bearing with people, no merit whatsoever. It all boils down to what makes us happy or what feels good. That can't be so for us, friends. as children of God. I don't care what everybody else around us is doing. I don't care what is acceptable to society or not. I don't care what pleases us or not. What we have to ask is the question, what pleases God? What honors Him? Is this something that He would have in His presence? Is this something that He would allow? That's what really matters. God is holy regardless of what today's church does. God is holy regardless of what a preacher stands and teaches or doesn't teach, or what version of the Bible that softens perhaps the particular. In my understanding the other day, and I don't know, this is chasing rabbits, I'll just tell you that they're creating a new interpretation of the Bible that will basically justify and allow homosexuality. Just going to try to rewrite the Bible like they're rewriting history. Okay, how foolish! That doesn't change the holiness of God in the least. It does not change the holiness of God one bit. But you know what we want to talk about today? And folks, I don't take issue with any other church. I got to deal with the church we've got. But you know what? If we're not careful, we want to talk about love and the Spirit and claim this and gifts and anointing and laying on hands and healing and deliverance and victory and all of these things. And those things are fine and those things have a place, but not a single one of those things are going to be fully realized or experienced without a proper view of God's holiness. We're not going to experience victory until sin is dealt with in a very practical way in our life. We're not going to be delivered. Deliverance doesn't come from laying on hands or anointing. Deliverance comes from forsaking our sins because we see God is holy. Gifts. Gifts are great, but our gifts are never going to be fully realized until we've submitted ourselves to God in such a way that we're not tainted by sin. And then we can fully exercise our gifts. The Spirit, very real. Third person of the Trinity, it's God in spirit form, okay? He's very real, but He can't do His job in our life if He's grieved and quenched by our sins. Claims. Oh, I'm going to claim this, going to claim that. Well, you claim all you want, but you can't claim the promises of God. If your life is riddled with sin, you're not in a position to receive those promises. You see? Personal holiness makes all of those things something that can be talked about and can be enjoyed or realized. But what we want to do is we want to talk about all those things and just get on to highlight the warm and fuzzy subjects and totally leave holiness out of that. And so what the result of that is we walk out of the house of God with no better life that is any more honoring to God or any more pleasing to God than anybody else's. And that in that being the case, we're not going to experience all these other warm and fuzzy subjects. The result of that is a lot of shallow, superficial views of God, very unhealthy, shallow views of sin, which results in Christian lives that have no depth, no substance. Worship should be at the core of our relationship with God, but proper worship will never be experienced until we have a proper view of God's holiness and see Him as He really is. Let me give you this last verse, and then I'll get us out of here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this. Listen to it very closely. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That word serve there says we may serve God. It's one of those words I talked about earlier that is also rendered worship. That we may worship God, we can plug that in there very easily, acceptably, with reverence and holy fear. Reverence is the positive side of it. We just disrespect God and revere Him in such a way that it makes us want to do right, want to please Him, okay? The godly fear is the other side of it, has a little bit of a more of a negative tone to it, and it just simply dealing with the intimidation of knowing how powerful God is and how capable He is of correcting us. And so it's a holy fear. Quite frankly, we don't hear a lot about the fear of God anymore. It's all about, you know, God, I'm all right, you're all right, God's pleased with us, He's happy with us, let's just go have fun. No, you got to have a healthy view of God. You can't just go do anything you want with no consideration of the holy God that we serve. We have to consider what is pleasing to Him, what's honoring to Him, what does He deserve, what should He receive from us, and what He should receive from us, friends, is a holy life as much as possible, okay? Obviously, we're all going to fall short. So my challenge to you today, as you hear the word worship in the future, or you think about worship, it's all right. Think about the music. That's fine. Think about Sunday morning service. That's fine. But think about, in general, living your life in a way that honors God by giving Him what He deserves. That's worship. Amen. When you go to work, and you conduct yourself with integrity, and you do what you're supposed to do. You're an example. You're a testimony to those around you, and you do things right. Really, you're offering God worship with your life. Young people, there are not many here this morning, but when you're Saturday night and everybody's going this direction, and you say, oh, no, I'm not. That's not where I need to be and not what I need to be doing, you're honoring God. You're respecting God's what pleases Him and what He deserves, and you're giving Him what He deserves. In a sense, that's worship. I could go on and on with these examples, but it all boils down to this. It begins with that view of God's holiness. God is perfect and not a flaw in Him, and He deserves for me to give Him the best I can, the most flawless, holy life that I can possibly offer Him. Brother David's going to come. Folks, I tell you, these aren't fun things to preach about. I wish I could just stand up here and say, let's all go do what we want to and have fun and feel good. But it's not that way. I tell you, you feel good when you've honored God. He makes you feel good. I'm going to ask you to stand. Maybe heads. Maybe you've got something you need to deal with the Lord about. Maybe you want to just bow and worship. Maybe you want to come to this altar in bodily form and just bow and worship. Whatever it is, God's spoken to you. Nobody's going to be looking around. It'll all be private. Unless you want me to pray with you for some reason, I'm here available. Other than that, God's spoken to your heart, you come. Take